How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. That was the first line of today's psalm. And this psalm is a pilgrim song, a song for the highway. And it's not difficult at all to imagine a tired but happy throng of men, women, and children on their way to Jerusalem. They're coming up the road from Jericho, and the older ones who have made this pilgrimage before. Jim, this is hot. It's been bothering me for a while now. Do something about it. That's better, isn't it? Good. So, we're on the road up the hill from Jericho. And the old ones among us who have made this pilgrimage before know that soon we'll come to the turn where suddenly Mount Zion comes into view for the very first time. And they can see the temple from a distance. And they start singing, "How beautiful, how lovely is your dwelling place." They sing all the way. They sing until all of them are close enough to see the nest the swallow has built for her young near the altar. My body and soul shout for joy to the living God. Happy are those who live in your house, O God, ever singing your praise. Line after line gives voice to the joy of going to the place where God can be found and the pilgrims are at home. Your dwelling place, your house, the courts of the Lord, where the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. On and on. This psalm is all about the place where God dwells. The pilgrims say they'd gladly trade 1,000 days elsewhere for one day there. Now think about that for a moment. It's near the end of August. Summer's almost over. For those of us who have been on vacation, the memories are still fresh. Just think of those few days of real fullness and rest and joy. Perhaps on the beach, perhaps in the mountains, somewhere by the river, by the lake. 1,000 days there. For one day in God's house. What a day. What a house. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem has been a holy place for many hundreds of years, for generation after generation of the children of Abraham, for Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And suddenly, we don't feel like singing anymore, or only a very different song. Suddenly we realize that we can only take turns singing our laments about destruction, suspicion, jealousy, about persecution and crusades and other terrors. We children of Abraham don't know how to live together at the same address. It's like we're singing your house, your courts, your dwelling place, but what we're really saying is our house, not yours. But we, and by we I mean all of us, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, we can't sing the beautiful words of Moses or David or Jesus or Muhammad to the ugly tune of mutual exclusion or colonization and pretend that it's still the same song. It's not. In John 14, Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." I believe that is a good place for us Christians to start thinking about sharing God's address with neighbors of other faiths. For some of us, that will be much easier than for others. But I consider it the call of God for our generation, and nothing less than that. And I believe that it's not just a matter of learning how to be tolerant civil, respectful, or in the South we call it nice. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with tolerance. There's nothing wrong with being nice. There's nothing wrong with being respectful and civil. But all that still allows us to continue to live side by side behind thick walls without ever getting to know each other. And prejudice and bias thrive in the shadow of those walls. Therefore, whenever the opportunity offers itself to us anywhere, to take out a few stones, to open a window, or perhaps even a door, we need to embrace it and use it well. We have guests among us this morning, four incredibly brave, I can't put it any other way, incredibly brave Muslim women who chose to show up in a Christian church on Sunday morning and sit with us in worship. I was amazed when you, Maha, said yes, without knowing where you were going. I mean, you come from San Francisco and you hear about Nashville. Whew. Kudos. You have my deepest respect for what you do. And yes, welcome to all of you here in our midst this morning. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about a very Christian perspective on being housed, perhaps being housed with God. The psalm for this day sings beautifully of God's house and how lovely a place it is where God abides. And to abide, to dwell, also is a key word in the Gospel of John. And one of the more than 40 times this word occurs in that gospel is in today's passage from chapter 6, where Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." We've talked about this for a few weeks now. Hard words, difficult teaching. You don't just listen to that and go, yeah, sure, what's next? You need to sit with that for a while. And the longer we sit with that, the better we understand that John is sailing to the very edge here of what language can possibly convey about who Jesus is and who we are meant to be. The witness of John to all of us is that in Jesus, the Word of God became flesh and blood, a human being. And yes, we are to listen to his teachings and follow his instruction, but there's more to it. He gives his whole self, his entire life to us. And what he intends for us is a relationship of mutual abiding. The most intimate thing human minds can possibly imagine. He in us and we in him. According to John and other New Testament writers, that is the house that love builds, not with walls, never with coercion, but with hospitality and grace. It's God's house for us and our house for God. Since we have a guest here this morning, I'll be very brief to give her some time to talk to us. I want to close by going back to Psalm 84. The translation we commonly use in our worship reads in verse 10, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness." Now, doorkeeper sounds a little bit like an entry-level job in the temple hierarchy, and the whole phrase conveys a holy humility. It is indeed better to be a lowly servant in God's house than master of the house in the tents of wickedness. This verse can also be translated, and I like this translation a little bit better. I would rather stand at the threshold of God's house than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Jews, Christians, and Muslims have a long history of mutual suspicion and violence, with but a few periods when we live together like brothers and sisters, or at least like cousins. And we're still only beginning to see and understand that the tents of wickedness are not necessarily places where only the others ever dwell. Sometimes our very conviction that we are in God's house turns that house into a tent of wickedness, and we end up living in the most ungodly ways humanity has seen. I would rather stand at the threshold of God's house than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I find the image of standing at the threshold very moving. What it says to me is, I want to stay here a little while before I go all the way in. I want to stay here a little while and see who else is here in the courtyard. Who else is going through other doors? I want to stay here. This image speaks of a willingness to stand in the door of what we know and love as the dwelling place of God, and to keep the door open, and to say our prayers and to sing our songs and preach our sermons within earshot of each other. The image of standing at the threshold reminds us that the peace and reconciliation we all seek in one way or another on the inside cannot be separated from the peace and reconciliation we seek on the outside. I didn't really know how to end this. One thing that keeps popping up in my mind is a different kind of image. When we think house, we think four walls with a roof, a door, and some windows. I think our imagination to visualize the house of God has to change, has to be different. And I love the language in this psalm that speaks of the courts, of the courtyard. And I see this open courtyard with all kinds of buildings around it, very much like the downtown of any American city, or at least the old towns where you still had a square in the center. All those buildings around it, all of them houses of God, all of them houses of prayer, houses of worship. And I like to sit a little longer with that image of all those doors being open and all of us overhearing what's going on the other side. I want to call that the house of God. Amen.